Calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast, please. Be on the lookout for LaSalle Coupe. 8X-ray 3072. Three men in the car. An American, a Mexican, a Negro. Three men wanted for robbery and murder. That's all. Go to the
Will you help the police in their war against juvenile delinquency? Every boy and girl should be trained to respect the law and despise lawbreakers. Already, many thousands of young boys and girls have joined Rio Grande's Junior Police Department. We offer 15 different free gifts to members, complete G-Man and Junior Detective outfits. Your neighborhood dealer who sells Rio Grande cracked gasoline will show you how to get all 15 of these gifts, all free. If you are interested in police and crime stories, you should read the Calling All Cars News, an interesting, illustrated monthly publication given away wherever Rio Grande cracked gasoline is sold. One of the most effective weapons used by your police in their war on crime is Rio Grande cracked gasoline, which gives so many police cars the lightning-like acceleration, the sensational speed and power which enables them to quickly capture speeders and fleeing criminals. Police cars have made an enviable reputation for these quick captures, and police say Rio Grande cracked gasoline has proved to be the fastest and most efficient gasoline they have ever used. Every year, more and more cities contract with Rio Grande to use cracked gasoline exclusively in all their emergency cars. For years now, more police and emergency cars have used Rio Grande cracked gasoline wherever it is sold than any other brand, and the list is constantly growing. We invite you to make a test in your car with the same tetraethyl-treated Rio Grande cracked gasoline used by police cars and enjoy the thrill of police car performance. We are pleased to present Captain Bert Wallace, head of the homicide squad of the Los Angeles Police Department. Captain Wallace.
Good evening, friends. We hear much about the reformation of the hardened criminal. It rarely happens that way. Once a criminal has stepped across the borderline into dishonesty, it seems that he can't resist the temptation to turn another trick. It is very discouraging to police officers to spend so much time and so much of the taxpayers' money to capture a bandit, and then have him turned loose by the parole system after a short jail sentence. Police know only too well that they will soon pick up evidence that the so-called reformed criminal has returned to his erring ways. Police records are full of cases of men and women arrested again and again and again. Police know that most major crimes are committed by experienced criminals who have police records. Tonight's broadcast tells the story of a gang of hold-up men composed, with one exception, of ex-convicts. It gives a typical example of how these men, whose minds have already been poisoned against law and order, delight in pitting their strength against the law enforcement agencies. Their punishment by the courts does not teach them a lesson. As you will see, it is necessary for your police department to keep a watch on all known criminals and paroled convicts. And it is from their ranks that the police make most of their arrests. I hope that the moral taught by tonight's program will be instrumental in keeping many potential law violators from making that dangerous first step. I very much fear that, once having tasted the forbidden fruits of crime, it is almost impossible to return to a respectable life, and that the police must arrest the criminally inclined again and again, if necessary, until they have been put behind the bars for good. The story opens on a warm summer afternoon in 1932 in a little jewelry store on South Vermont Avenue in Los Angeles. The proprietor, black magnifying glass in his eyes,
is repairing a watch when a customer wanders in, followed by two companions. One, a Negro.
Yeah, well, good afternoon. And what can I do for you?
I want to look at your watches.
Yeah. About what price watch you have in mind?
Oh, something around $35.
$35, yeah. Well, yes, we have some very nice numbers at that price. Just a minute, and I will show you. Here. Now, here is a very smart watch. With movement, guaranteed.
Here, hold up your hands.
What?
Hold up your hands.
My God, what is this?
Now, shut up. Dump those watches into the bag, Frank. Take the spurs into the back room, Hank.
Okay, boss.
Look, Bob, here is a bag of jewels, diamonds, rubies.
Okay, dump it in and don't talk too much. We gotta make time. I don't lift that silverware.
No, I didn't.
Hey, boss, see your door's open back here.
Well, lock it, dummy.
Yowza. Come on, here comes somebody.
All right, pile that junk into the sack. I'll take care of him. What do you want?
I'm looking for the manager. You the manager?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I see. Well, I got to get my wife's watch fixed. Seems the main spring is...
Get in the back room.
Yes, Paul will be here soon.
I said get in the back room.
But set your hand. Well, I declare a gun.
I'll give you three to get in the back room.
Well, the police will hear this.
One.
And it'll go hard with you.
Two.
I never was one to stand by and see the law broken.
What's going on in here, boss?
Never mind now, Hank. You got the junk, Frank?
See, the sack is full.
How about you, Hank?
I ain't had time yet, boss.
All right, forget it. Get going. This will be a tough beef. We better scram quick.
Oh, my God. They've killed him. Help! Police!
A few moments later, the police arrived. The clues are meager. The frightened jeweler's description of the bandit, the bullet which is later removed from the skull of the murdered customer, and a pillowcase which one of the bandits had dropped in his flight. This pillowcase, which was used as a sack for the loot, is turned over to Ray Pinker of the police department's laboratory. Later in the day, he makes his report to Inspector Davidson of the homicide detail.
Well, Ray, what did you find?
I was able to make out this erased laundry mark. It's 1471.
1471. Just a minute till I make a note of that.
Well, there seems to have been a name worked into this material in the thread. Probably the name of the hotel. They've carefully pulled all the threads out, and I haven't been able to decipher that yet.
Very well. Keep after it.
You bet I will.
But the clue of the pillowcase leads nowhere. For the search of the hotel whose property it is results in no suspects fitting the description of the bandit. It looks like a clean getaway. That night, York returns to the gang's hideout from the bench.
Who is that?
I'll get that the boat.
And maybe the pool.
You are for him, Hank.
And then get all shut up? No, sir. Not me. No,
sir. Ah, it's Bob. Three rings. I will get it.
Well, boss, how you make out?
Not bad, not good.
How much is that?
Well, he gave me $500 for the stuff.
Only five fees?
You should have let me take it to the same final, Bob. I could get a lot more.
That's the best I could do.
How much are you holding out for your settle?
I cut that talk, Mug. I don't do business that way.
Okay, drop the gun.
All right, boys, this will not get us no place. Let us have the door.
Okay, here you are. I figure the cut this way. $150 for Frank and me. And $100 apiece for Hank and Tiny.
Hey, what is
this? No, just a minute, there, boy.
Now, listen. Frank and I really pulled the job. Hank mussed around in the back room all the time. I don't know what he was doing, playing kiss the pillow with a Dutch jeweler or something.
Now, listen here, boss. I'm going to explain all that. I'll tell you.
Tiny only drove the car. Frank and I did the real work.
Yeah, and you pulled a beef bumping off that old man.
Yeah, you didn't have to do that, boss.
How'd I know the guy was deaf? I can't stop to ask questions doing a job.
Listen here, York. You pulled a beef, but if the bulls get us, we'll all take the rap for it. Oh, maybe only life for us while you swim. We're all in it. We're cutting even, see?
Yes, Bob. Me, I do not want more than you there.
And if you don't cut even, York, I'd just soon turn the heat on you as look at you.
Well, I don't want no trouble.
Yeah, I bet you don't. You don't want me to press the button on this toy I got you, do you, York? Now, how do we cut?
Okay, an even split.
That's more like it.
Here you are. 125
In marked money, York?
Oh, shut up. Where's Rosita, Frank?
Oh, my little dear. I do not know. Back in the kitchen, maybe.
Well, I'm going out and talk to her.
Rosita?
Yes?
Where are you?
Hello,
Rosita.
Yorkie. Hello, querido.
I got something for you, honey.
For Rosita? What is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Yorkie. How beautiful. A real diamond. It is real, no?
Well, if it ain't, I did a lot of work this afternoon for nothing.
It is beautiful. Oh, Rosita loves you so very much for it. Rosita, she gives you a big kiss for him.
Oh, I like that.
Well, Rosita, she knows how to kiss, eh?
I'll say. Oh, look, here's something else for you.
Something else?
Yeah, here's $50. Go and get yourself some glad rags.
Oh, Yorkie, you are so nice to me. I'll give you another kiss.
Say, Rosita, how'd you like to marry me?
Marry you? Mrs. Yorkie? No, really?
Yeah, only up and up. Have a padre hook us and everything.
Me, I think that would be one swear good idea.
It is? Mm-hmm. Gee, that's great. No, no, wait a minute. Listen, I'm liable to be in trouble. You know that.
Trouble? Oh. Still more. He said something had gone wrong today. What is it?
Well, truth is, I killed a guy.
Well?
Well, don't that make no difference?
Why should it? We can go to Mexico. We can run away. I will take you to the little town where I was born. They will never find you there.
Yeah, but we ain't got no dough.
Get some. Go get some like you got these. Only get a lot. Rob a bank.
Rob a bank? That's an idea. A good idea. I'll talk to the boys about it right now.
Yorkie.
Yeah?
You forgot to kiss Rosita.
Oh, yeah. Chiquita, you're the berry. Hey, boys.
Yeah.
I got a great idea.
Like bumping off an old man?
Oh, shut up. Now, listen, Rogers. I'm sick of the sight of you. Now, get out.
What do you mean, get out?
You pulled your last job with me, and I'm through with you.
Now, look here. What
you heard me. You got your cut. More you deserve. You paid off a scram.
Well, if that's the way you feel about
it. Well, it is the way I feel about it. You're nothing but a small change, Rogers. Well, I've been sprung out of more big houses than you ever heard of.
Yeah, well, listen. I done my time, too.
Now, you never know it. You talk like a kid sticking up gas stations. Now, beat it. I got no time for you.
Okay. But maybe I'm making a mistake.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just wising up. And don't slam the door when you go out. Like it's on my nerves.
Oh, boy, he's a good man, boss.
Well, I don't want him around me, you get it?
Yes, I showed up.
Okay. Now, here's the idea. We're going to stick up a bank.
A bank? That's a big job, boss.
You're telling me? Well, we're doing only big jobs from now on. Now, look here. We're in up to our necks now. If they ever get us, we're on our way to the big house. But if we pull a couple of nice jobs, we can all get out of the country with enough to live on for the rest of our lives.
You're thinking on getting some real important money, is that it, boss?
Right. Now, we'll need another guy, a good hard guy to pull a bank job. Now, can you think of anybody? Say, I've got it. Perfect. You know him?
Don't seem to live out of no.
See, I know him. He is all right. He is very good with the gun.
All right. We'll start on one of these little branch banks out this way. And then, just to be sure we get enough the rest of our lives, we'll knock over one of the big downtown banks. That's when we've got everything to gain. And if we stick around here too long, the bulls are bound to pick us up. It's in the card. The homicide squad down at the city hall is a tough bunch of monkeys. And don't ever forget it.
Planning their crimes. They do not strike until a month later, and then, late in the morning of August 23rd, 1932, as the manager of a branch bank on South Broadway answers the telephone.
Oh, hello, Dave. How are you? Yes, indeed. Oh, that'll be all right. Yeah. Yes, we can handle you for that amount. Yes. Hey, don't hang up. Three tough fellows just walked in. One of them's a Negro. Yeah. Yes, David, the hold up.
You just pulled that gun. Call the police right away. I got to hang up.
Hey, you over there.
Who, me?
Yeah. You move to the back. Now, get going. Keep him covered, Hank. Well, I got the dough.
All right, boss.
All right. Pass it up.
See, see.
Hank, I told you, what? That guy's got a gun.
I don't have it, Rosita. Frank's got it.
Oh, will you? Do you find this?
He's shot.
Shot?
Yeah. They plugged him.
Wait, what happened?
Oh, the boy's got buck fever. It didn't turn out like we figured. Everything went wrong.
Well, where is Tio Francisco?
We left him on the street.
You left my uncle on the street to die?
Oh, listen, baby. We couldn't help it. There wasn't time to get him. That manager was blazing away at us.
You left my uncle to die.
Oh, honey. He ain't bumped off. Hank is. He's dead. But Frank's okay. He's just wounded out there.
You left him to die. You had faith. He was the only one in the world who was good to me.
Oh, now listen. Listen to me. I swear I'll spring him from the hospital. I'll spring him if I have to bum off a half a dozen guys to do it.
No, he's dead. I know it. You let him die. I never want to see you again. Get out. Get out.
Lieutenant?
Hello, Major. What's the trouble?
The 10th bank holds up.
He's the bandit?
Two of them.
Dead?
Yes, both of them.
Okay. Keep that card back, will you?
Yes, sir.
And your phone? Here's the manager of the bank, Romero.
He shot these two guys. I see. How many others were there?
Well, there was one more in the bank at the time. He seemed to be the leader. And then there were two more in the car. I shot at the car as it drove away. Maybe I hit one of them. I don't know.
What kind of a car was it?
It was a LaSalle coupe.
Did you get the license number?
No, I couldn't get it.
Oh, yes? Oh, officer, I've got the license number of that car.
You have?
Yes. I was just coming into the bank when I heard the shooting. I could hear the doorway and watched them drive away. I wrote down the license. Here it is. 8X3072.
Well, that's fine. Thank you very much. Very much obliged, lady. Oh, Bert.
Yes?
Call headquarters and get this on the broadcast and teletype. Bandits escaped in a LaSalle coupe. License number 8X3072.
Right. And say, here's some addresses and telephone numbers from the Mexican's body.
Good. These ought to lead us someplace.
Say, Romero, I just found this in the pillowcase.
A pillowcase, huh?
Yep, and the same kind as we found in that jewelry store murder on Vermont last month.
Hey, it is at that. Now we're getting someplace.
The pillowcase turns out to be a mate to the one used in the jewelry store holdup. And the addresses found in Alvarado's pocket lead the officers to the gang's hideout on Mercury Street. Under the direction of Inspector Davidson of the homicide detail, a stakeout of the place reveals only a young girl as the occupant of the house. Late in the day, the officer decides to pay her a call.
We're police officers, ma'am.
My dear Francisco, how is he?
Who?
Uncle Frank. He's all right?
You must mean Frank Alvarado.
Frank? What's his last name?
Alvarado.
Frank Alvarado, huh?
See, is he all right?
He's dead, ma'am.
Dead?
Yeah.
Oh, poor dear Francisco. Poor dear Francisco. That pig leaving him on the street to die.
What's that?
That Yorkie. You let my uncle die.
Yorkie? Who's he?
You want to know, eh?
Yeah.
You want to know everything so you can check him, eh? Well, I will tell you everything. He left my uncle to die, so you shall know everything. Come in. I will help you find that pig.
Inspector Fisher's information leads the officers to a rooming house on Maple Street, operated by an Oriental, where York and Alvarado stayed on August 15th.
Oh, hello. How do you do? What can I do for very nice American gentleman?
Let's pay your register.
Oh, what for? I show register?
Don't ask so many questions. They're from police headquarters.
Oh, yes, very fine policeman. I show. Here, you please look.
Yeah, let's see now. 19, 18, 16. Here we are.
Just two names. Thomas Kern and William Cummings. Probably phony.
Yeah.
Hey, you. Know anything about these two fellas?
Oh, what a fellow. Oh, these are... Oh, what do you want to know?
What do they look like?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm scared. I not remember. That many days ago. I forget. Many people come... Many people go. I not notice.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Please?
Try to think what these two men were like, will you? It wasn't so long ago. Only a week.
Oh, no. I'm sure I cannot think. I don't remember.
Well, then, that's that.
Well, maybe he doesn't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
Rosita willingly accompanies the officers as they search all night through the hills in the vicinity of the hideout for the fugitive. Then she suggests that they may be at a coffee house she knows of on South Main Street. Early in the morning, they visit this place, and Burris goes in, but soon returns to the car.
What luck?
None.
No, they're not there. Nobody's seen anyone like them for days.
Maybe.
Hey, I got a hunch.
No, what?
Let's go back to that dump on Maple Street.
What dump?
The one Burris and I looked over yesterday.
Yeah, it's worth a try.
See, it is a good idea. They will be there, maybe. Then the pig will pay.
Oh, what the fool? You wake me up before honorable sun in sky?
I want to look at that register again.
Oh, very good. I'm sure.
Anybody else come in since we were here before?
Oh, people come, they go. Yes, I think very fine people he come. You please to look?
Look, Mel.
Huh?
There's the same birds registered yesterday as registered on the 16th.
Now, let me see. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, let me see that handwriting. Well, say, that checks with this, you see?
Now, what's that?
York's writing from the police record.
Well, then I think we've got the boy.
Hey, you. What room are they in?
What a room? Oh, I think number 16, I think.
Are they there now?
I know nothing.
Did you tell them we've been here before?
Oh, I run extra special by the rooming house. I know nothing else.
Okay, you got a key to 16?
I think maybe I find him here on the desk.
All right, find it. Let us into that room.
Oh, I wonder if it's a good thing for a customer.
Don't forget, we're police officers.
Oh, yes, sir. I remember now. I open now. You come around to this way, please.
Eddie Gunsbury, boys. These are tough monkeys.
Okay.
All right. Well, here we are. All set?
You're ready.
Open her up.
All right, I do. Oh, I know what kind of do. Bolt on other side of this rock.
They got it bolted from the inside, eh? Open the door.
Now, who is it?
Open up.
All right, I'll break the door down.
Okay, boys, okay. On your toes now.
Hey, what's the thing?
Yeah, we're police officers. Stick him up. Stick him up. You two over there.
Okay.
What's the guy on the bed? He's got a gun.
Drop it. Look out, Andy. He's going to shoot. Let him have it.
Now, drop it.
Okay. Not so bad. Pretty bad.
Where?
Down here.
Sorry, but you shouldn't have whipped that rod out from under the covers.
I know. Hey, it's worse.
Snap the braces on them, boys. Hey, buddy, you call the ambulance and take Chuck up to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, will you?
Okay.
Andy and I'll take Mr. York here to Central.
It's okay with me, boys. I can take it.
It ought to be okay.
Okay.
All right. Come on, let's go.
Listen, keep a stiff upper lip, Kirk. And don't say nothing.
Right. So long, pal.
Robert York confessed to the murder of William Kirkpatrick in the jewelry store holdup and implicated his previous accomplice, Rogers, in the crime. LeMay, the driver in the bank robbery, was sent to San Quentin for 7 years to life. Turcotte permanently wounded, and Rogers were given life sentences on a verdict of first-degree robbery and murder, and Robert York was hanged. So these habitual criminals again learned that you cannot beat the law. This time, the evidence presented by the police was so damning that the courts meted out stiff sentences. I hope that a mistaken sense of mercy will not result in these confirmed criminals being released from their life sentence to prey again on respectable citizens.
Thank you, Captain Wallace.
Warning. When you change your motor oil, you should use a different grade entirely. You have been using winter oil. Time to change to summer oil now. And if you want to know exactly what grade of oil your car should have, ask the independent dealer in your neighborhood who sells Rio Grande cracked gasoline. He has been trained to apply the Sinclair law of lubrication, and he has the latest factory information on every car. He can tell you exactly what grade of motor oil is best for your engine. And he can tell you exactly what kind of lubricant should be applied to every moving part. Sinclair is the recognized leader in the manufacture of scientific lubricants, and the Sinclair Lubrication Manual is the recognized authority on the correct application of oils and greases. Sinclair has become America's largest manufacturer of lubricants, and Sinclair experts work with every automobile maker to determine the correct lubricant for every part of your automobile. This information, revised from week to week, is placed in the hands of the Rio Grande cracked gasoline dealer in your neighborhood so he can lubricate your car scientifically and accurately. It costs you no more to get Sinclair Scientific Lubrication or Sinclair Motor Oil, and you get a lot more for your money. Frederick Lindsley, your narrator, bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.